Let me first of all say that 2 years is much too long. The conflict has lasted much too long, and the suffering of the people has been terrible. So what UNMISS has been doing is first and foremost to urge the parties to sign a peace agreement, which they have now done, and to implement it in letter and spirit. And we continue to urge them to do so. Simultaneously, we are doing our very best to fulfill our main mandate, namely to protect civilians wherever civilians are in need, and to facilitate humanitarian access. And we are also documented what is happening in terms of human rights abuses.
Yes, and if you have to describe the progress so far of the peace process in the country as of today, how will you describe it?
It's been too slow. But we also have to look at the positive things. Finally, a peace agreement was signed in August. And the parties continued their negotiations in Addis and agreed on the security arrangements in Juba and major cities like Bor, Malakal and Benchu. We also had, at the end of November, the first meeting of the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, under the leadership of the former president of Botswana, His Excellency Festus Mohai. But, unfortunately, the IO was not present at that meeting, and we hope their advance team will come to Juba soon so that those mechanisms in the peace agreement can begin to function. And unfortunately, fighting has continued on the ground, even though the parties in August signed a permanent ceasefire.
Yes, you described the peace process in the country as slow. Is UNMISS concerned at all by the slow pace of the establishment of the key elements required within the peace agreement? How concerned is UNMISS?
But of course we are concerned because the people of South Sudan are suffering. Therefore, what we are trying to do is to urge the parties to implement the agreement they have signed to, because what we hear wherever we are in the country is that people want peace, people want to be able to rebuild their lives in peace and pursue what the whole intention was when South Sudan became independent, a life in freedom, prosperity and peace.
Why is the process so slow? I mean, is there a lack of political will? What do you think is the cause of this peace process being slow? What is the biggest obstacle here in implementing the peace process as it is?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. They have different arguments. And the important thing for me is that they should overcome those obstacles. The IO should send their advance team to Juba, should participate in the JMAC meetings, the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, should participate in the discussion on how to get the ceasefire and transitional security arrangements up and running, should participate in the discussion on how to establish the Joint Integrated Police.
Now, just on UNMISS, what kind of support are you providing to the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission?
Well, UN is a member of the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Committee, and we have, as other partners, been in dialogue with the chair, His Excellency President Mohai. It's very important that he is the one who asks us what we need to support, because we have pledged total support to his endeavors to move this process forward.
What are the main concerns and challenges that the mission has and is facing with regards to, first, the establishment of security?
Well, first of all, the challenge is, of course, that fighting continues in various parts of the country. And that is why I cannot repeat often enough that we need a complete stop in the fighting, full respect for the permanent ceasefire that the parties agreed to in the agreement.
Yes, and 2 years ago on these dates, armies opened its gates to civilians that up to now are still in the protection of civilian camps. Can you just tell us on the protection of civilians, how is armies coping up with that?
Well, I have to remind you, as I have done ever so often, protection of civilians is much more than opening the gates. We have to remember that 1.6 million South Sudanese are internally displaced in South Sudan, and over 500,000 have fled to neighboring countries. So protection of civilians is about assisting those people in need wherever they are. Yes, we have 185,000 today living in our sites, but we are trying our very best also to project our presence outside the camp, and we have actually recently established forward operating bases in areas where the needs is very acute, like in Leah County and in Mundri, all in the effort to try and protect civilians in need wherever they are. We hope that it will be possible when the peace agreement is implemented for all internally displaced to safely return to their home and to pick up their lives.
Let's talk briefly about the humanitarian assistance. I mean, how difficult or how is it assisting with the delivery of humanitarian assistance in the country at the moment?
Well, I would say that all the humanitarian partners are doing their utmost to meet the needs of those suffering. They have two challenges. One challenge is to raise the funding they need, because there are many other parts of the world where there are refugees and people are in dire need. The second challenge they have here in South Sudan is, of course, to move freely around to get the supplies where they are needed. First of all, the infrastructure, especially during the rainy season, is very challenging. And secondly, unfortunately, not only UNMISS, but also our humanitarian partners ever so often have restrictions in movement, either by one party or another, or by gangs or whatever that stops our convoy on the road.
Now, the mission looks forward to a new mandate any day now. What could you expect will be different in this, and how will it better assist and enhance the work of the United Nations mission in South Sudan?
I actually expect the Security Council later today to adopt our new mandate, and I'm pretty convinced that they will continue to focus on the four main pillars of our mandate, namely protection of civilians, support to monitoring of the ceasefire, and human rights reporting, and finally, facilitation of delivery of humanitarian assistance. But I'm also expecting that the Security Council will mandate us to provide support for the implementation of the peace agreement, not only support for the various mechanisms like the Joint Monitoring Evaluation Commission, but also to more intensified support for the monitoring mechanism of the ceasefire, and also support, for instance, to the training of the Joint Integrated Police, and further down the line, other issues like security sector reform, DDR, and support to the constitutional amendment process.
Now, there have been some concerns of mistrust and accusations of partiality on the part of the mission. How could you address this? And can you just tell us about the relationship between the United Nations mission at the moment and the government of South Sudan as of today?
Unfortunately, we are meeting that mistrust ever so often. I just want to underline that the mission is impartial. We are not taking side with one or the other. We are doing our best to support the people of South Sudan, the people of South Sudan who are in need, And we are doing that regardless of their political preferences. Whenever we have these issues, I try to be open and transparent and share my information with whoever is challenging our impartiality. We are impartial, but we also need to be allowed to move freely around the country and not to be harassed by one or the other of the fighting forces.
Now, as head of the United Nations operations in the country, are you satisfied with the mission and the agencies of what they have been delivering over the last few years?
I would say that the humanitarian partners, both within the UN family and the wider humanitarian community, has really done a fantastic job under very difficult circumstances. But when people are suffering, you can never be fully satisfied until you have reached each and everyone suffering. And it is very difficult to reach everybody in some of the areas of South Sudan for various reasons, the infrastructure challenges and the challenges in relation to movement.
Just before I let you go, looking forward to 2016, what do you anticipate will be some of the key challenges facing the mission and the country? And do you anticipate an even bigger role for the United Nations in the establishment of the peace, as the peace process is being implemented?
First of all, I hope 2016 will be another important year for South Sudan, will be the year where we can fully say we've left the dispute and the fighting behind us and we rally on moving South Sudan forward and developing South Sudan's economy for the benefit of the people. I really hope that United Nations, and here I speak not only for the mission, but also for all our agencies, will have an important role to play in supporting the transitional government in implementing this agenda. I hope that we can gradually start doing capacity building with our partners again. I hope we can put the events of the last 2 years behind us and start looking forward on developing South Sudan to a prosperous and peaceful nation to the benefit of everybody in South Sudan.
Thank you so much, Madam Special Representative of the Secretary General. It's been our great pleasure having you on the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.